Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. Watch, chop, retrofit.
Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. Sometimes there's a podcast. Not really. I'm not really going to do that, you guys. Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop. I was going to try out my Sam Elliott voice, but I don't have the Sam Elliott chops. So this is a movie podcast that concedes that remakes are going to happen. So why shouldn't movie buffs like us decide who is recast in those iconic roles? We do have an online presence. We are at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. We're on Facebook. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. And then our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. Also, we check in beers around the midpoint of the show, just after intermission, and we check those in on untapped.com. That's untappd.com. No E in the name there. And my name is Travis, and I will be your host, but also your ranch foreman today here on the show. Hey, it was really hard coming up with Western nicknames, you guys.
But no one told you. I did my best.
Nobody did tell me that I had to do that, but I do have to because it's a compulsion. And I'm joined, as always, here in the corral by our engineer, editor, producer extraordinaire. He's the Canadian dude in your brain again. It's Andrew Tay. Say hello to the listeners.
Howdy.
Very nice. In addition, we are extremely excited to welcome back to the show two returning guests. Riding shotgun, we've got Sean the Brew Boss.
Howdy.
Right? And also, she's a real Buffalo gal, and she might come out tonight. It's Hillary. Yeah, you know the song, right? Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Yeah. You can hear it in like an old saloon, right? An old Western saloon.
And I feel like you just called me a buffalo.
No, here's the thing. No. Do you know that I just learned this, that it's actually a reference to Buffalo, New York. They're singing about girls in Buffalo, New York. Won't you come out tonight?
Yeah,
you
know? The girls. Yeah.
It could be confusing though. Like I also think about the Bob Marley song "Buffalo Soldier." You know,
Buffalo
and that was the same
Soldier.
Kind of time period, the historical yes. Buffalo Soldiers. But beyond that, I thank you guys for appreciating your nicknames. Further description of the show: the tagline at the top says "Watch, Chop, Retrofit," because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies, sometimes classic films. And sometimes some real hunks of junks, some real broken down wagons. Then we retrofit them by putting a new wheel on it and getting her across the creek there. So that's the gist of the program. We're hypothetically recasting these roles. We're not actually promoting or endorsing remake or sequel or reboot culture. Isn't that correct?
Boy, howdy.
Definitely correct, yeah.
All right, so we kind of got a slow start here at the beginning, off mic, but we are definitely just in time for some energy drinks.
Energy drinks.
Sean, I know you already tried the original. I should mention these are from Mossy Oak. Don't they make camouflage clothing?
They make camouflage clothing.
And they make camouflage cans.
We've
that's,
got one.
That's for sure.
You were saying what, Hillary?
Oh, yeah. You would lose that in the woods if it wasn't
or you
that
could,
big.
You
yeah,
could,
that's right.
You could hide your shame of drinking Mossy Oak in the woods because it's camouflage.
Yeah.
But you tried this one, Sean, and you said it tasted like what?
Buttered popcorn.
Like almost like the diacetyl or something?
Yeah, but their diacetyl wouldn't exist in an energy drink, I don't
that
think.
You know of.
Yeah, but the other one was much better. The citrus berry All Zero
that's
is
weird.
Way better. Also of the Mossy Oak.
And the other one, the, what is it? It says
citrus
berry All Zero. That's the other Mossy Oak. And this one is obviously from the name zero calories, zero sugar, and whatnot. All right, that's enough talking about the energy drinks because we've got a big correction from the Department of Corrections Department. So, Sean, you actually brought this to my attention.
Yes.
Almost like immediately after we recorded last week. And I very mistakenly, and these are the kind of ones that I love because I've always thought this since the time, and I've probably told like 1,000 people this. But Fran Drescher did not play Janice, Chandler Bing's girlfriend, on Friends.
No,
that was
no.
A completely different actress named Maggie Wheeler. So
Maggie Wheeler was on Seinfeld. She was she was one of Costanza's girlfriends.
Did she
George's
play the
girlfriend.
Same character? Did
no,
she play
totally
Janice?
Different voice.
Those are both on NBC.
She had amazing
that, right?
Eyebrows though. Her character was like women would kill for the eyebrows. That was part of the joke. Was like the men don't care about her eyebrows.
So that was the big one. Apologies to both Maggie Wheeler and Fran Drescher, and I guess. Also Dana, because she noticed that too. And then the other one is a real minor one. On one of my 2018 movie marathon check-ins, I spelled prison with a Z. I think that's just my ghetto coming out. So that will close the door, slam the bars on the Department of Corrections department for this week. All right, we have moseyed around. We have circled the wagons, and we are... Was that a livestock noise?
Yeah. That's all I have to offer.
Moving along, little lady. Oh, so we're back, yes. So, I don't take too kindly to being interrupted. It makes me lose my focus. I'm looking for the man who shot my paw. Is that enough hints that the episode that we're doing today is all about Westerns? The Western genre in general, but Western movies specifically. We've got a couple of really good ones. Not really. We've got two Westerns, one of which is really good. The other one is has no rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but we'll get to that. Talking about the genre in general, it refers to any story that's set in the American West during what's called the Frontier Era. Which is basically from around 1865, the end of the Civil War, up until, and this I found very interesting, up until the year 1890, when the U.S. Census Bureau declared the frontier closed, which I think is a pretty bold statement. Like, did they build a wall? Like, what's going on there? But also, the genre itself predates the era that it's set in with novels by, like, James Fenimore Cooper. His books are set in what was the wilderness at the time, which was actually east of the Mississippi. They just didn't know yet. All the rest of the West. There's a good quote by an author named Horace Greeley, and he says, "Washington is not a place to live in. The rents are high, the food is bad, the dust is disgusting, and the morals are deplorable.
Oh,
go West. Go West, young man, go West, and grow up with the country." That should be a Department of Corrections department, because I always thought that that was Horatio Alger, not Horace Greeley, who said that. Completely different guy. Horatio Alger
was the guy who's like,
pull yourself up by your bootstraps guy. But yeah, that's the gist of what we're getting into. The Great Train Robbery was a huge jump forward for Western films. Happened in 1903. Then, you know, later you've got your spaghetti Westerns, which we mentioned a little bit. You've got your Sergio Leone and your Ennio Morricone team up, and then you add in some Clint Eastwood.
Those are my favorites.
Fistful of Dollars.
Fistful of Dollars, Hang 'Em High, A Few Dollars More, mm-hmm. High Plains Drifter.
And, of course, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And the,
anything with Eastwood is
so
Western.
The next thing that we need to get out there is the Midnight Double Feature. You guys made some picks for a Midnight Double Feature?
I did, and I've committed to mine this
week.
Very good,
very good.
Solid ones.
All right.
Switching around.
Hillary, it sounds like you're ready to go. You want to go first with the...
Okay, so the one I would do first is the 2007 James Mangold's remake of 3:10 to You.
Okay, yeah, with Christian Bale.
Christian Bale, Russell Crowe,
yes.
Peter Fonda,
yeah,
Alan
really
Tudyk,
good.
Who just kind of
yes.
pops up in the most
yeah.
random things. I love him for
yeah,
that.
He's great.
And it's basically, you know, Christian Bale's a farmer to make some money. He's trying to make sure this leader of, you know, gang is going to make it to the 3:10 train to
right.
Yuma to go to prison.
Mm-hmm. It's a real shoot 'em up.
Yes, and the townspeople are after him. The gang is after them,
mm-hmm.
trying to free Russell Crowe's character, who... Did I write that down?
And Christian Bale's character is also trying to maintain his morals, but also... not disappoint his son. His
yeah,
son is
he's
very...
trying to, and which is a theme in westerns, is
mm-hmm.
trying to like kind of win that badge of honor, if
mm-hmm.
you will. And he's that's what he's doing, and even if it would cost him his life, he would,
yeah.
you know, like try to do what he could to prove to his son. His sons, right?
Yes.
There's multiple
it's his,
sons.
It's his son. I have to admit, I've never seen the original 3:10 to Yuma.
Okay.
I'd like to go back and watch it.
I don't remember watching it,
one.
But I thought the remake was really solid.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one. The one I would pair with it is called The Proposition.
Oh, yeah. It's an
which
Australian
is
movie,
a 2005
right?
Australian Bushranger Ranger Western.
And the director has done a few of those. He did something with Guy Pearce also.
I didn't write down much about the director, but yeah, I love that movie. It was visually stunning.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you expect from a Western.
It's like
it's like a
revenge.
Yeah.
Revenge
oh, I've
Western.
Got, yeah. The basically Guy Pearce is the main character.
Mm-hmm.
He and his older brother and his younger brother are a gang. At the time, Australia's
mm-hmm.
getting a lot of, has, you know, basically had a lot of prisoners shipped there, and
yeah.
that's what the population is. So they're a little gang running around, and the Guy Pearce's character and the youngest brother are caught, and this officer makes a proposition to Guy Pearce that if he will go and bring in the older brother, who is the leader of the gang, then he'll let Guy Pearce and the younger brother
yes.
go. And
hence
the younger
the
brother.
Title, the proposition.
Yeah, the proposition. The younger brother is not cut out for this lifestyle. And that's clear from the get go.
Yeah.
So he has to battle with that.
One
of the things that stands out with me in that movie
yeah.
is the flies.
Yeah.
You watch
mm-hmm.
it and you can hear these flies.
Mm-hmm.
And it just.
Oh, this was written by Nick Cave. That's the one I was
Nick
thinking
Cave
of.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. I had forgotten about that, yes. It's
or Nick Cave.
Yeah, sure.
It's just visually stunning. Emma Watson and her character's husband is an officer who's moved to Australia,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to, you know, he's trying to make it a safer place for her and to be able to have a kid growing up there. I mean, the storyline's awesome.
What year did it come out again?
2005.
Okay, so it's actually still pretty recent, so let's not give everyone all of the plot details, because this is a recommendation for
yes.
sure, right?
Yes. Well, that's basically, I mean, that's
yeah,
that you can read in the synopsis.
Yes. I've seen it, and I think it was one of my 2016 marathon check-ins,
okay.
and I really liked that one.
I saw it, yeah.
All right, sounds good. Good stuff. And Sean, would you like to go next?
Sure.
Okay.
My first pick is a 1957 film that
Ooh.
Every young man, boy, should watch.
Oh, I think I got it.
It's it takes place in Texas. Young
is
gentleman,
it
like young man, and his mother. No, no, no.
Oh,
that's
okay.
It takes place on the family ranch, and a yellow mongrel comes and stays with the family uninvited, and. The family
oh.
falls in love with it, and
yeah,
Old Yeller.
Old Yeller.
Okay.
Oh, is that
All
a
right.
western?
It's set
it
in
is.
The West. He's the best doggone dog in the West, and
it's a real real crowd pleaser. It's lots of laughs.
Lots of laughs. It's got a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
79% from the audience, but critically 100%. And I challenge anybody to watch that and not cry.
While you were describing it, I thought two different things. First, when you said every man, every boy, every cowboy, I thought you were talking about The Cowboys with John Wayne, where he's taking the herd of cattle and all the only cowhands he has are kids. And he's, he says, just like the name says, you're not cowmen, you're cowboys. And so the other thing that I thought you were going to say is the movie Shane.
I thought about using Shane. Yeah, Shane's a great film.
And it's also been noted online that there's a lot of parallels between the movie Shane and the movie Logan, the newest installment in the Hugh Jackman Wolverine series. Hopefully the last one, because that was really kind of like a swan song for the character. Totally.
Okay. All right, so after the tearjerker, I wanted to lighten the mood a little bit, and I went with one of Clint Eastwood's later westerns. It was filmed in 1970, released rather, and it stars he and Shirley MacLaine, directed by Don Siegel. Two Mules for Sister Sarah.
For
anybody who hasn't seen it, Shirley MacLaine plays a sex worker undercover as a nun, and everyone except for Clint Eastwood seems to be in on the joke. And it's funny. It's a funny movie. It's lighthearted. It's got a 78 on Rotten Tomatoes, and what's funny is that also Shirley MacLaine essentially reprised that role in Cannonball Run 2.
Oh, really?
Well, she was a nun at one point in the movie, and they did not let Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise's character know what they were all about at first, so they kind of had to figure out that they weren't really nuns.
Gotcha.
And so so I thought that was kind of a neat nod to a previous role that she had played. So those are my two, a tearjerker and a laugh.
That's awesome. So what, when I hear the name Two Mules for Sister Sarah, I get it confused in my head with a Western that Jack Nicholson was in where he's a convict about to be hung. And as the protocol of the time, if anybody like volunteers to take them in, and anyway, this widow takes in Jack Nicholson's condemned character, and he has to work on her farm. She's really strict, and she hangs the chairs on the walls. Anyway, I'll have to look that one up. Future material for Department of Corrections Department.
Is that a dream that you have?
No, it's a real movie. Another thing about Westerns, I was thinking earlier that when I was a kid, there was this program that would come on every Sunday, and it would always show old classic Westerns. A lot of times they were John Wayne Westerns.
A lot of them are.
We'll get to that. But I can't remember the name of the program. We always called it Sunday Western Theater. And I Googled that, and nothing came up.
So I'll ask Kellen.
Maybe. I mean, and so I asked my mom, and she's like, she burned me. She was like, did you Google it? I was like, Mom, savage! So with that being said, I'll go ahead and mention my installments in the Midnight Devil feature. They're both from the early 90s, and they're both kind of modern or revisionist westerns.
Oh, I already see them.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that you guys have already seen these. One is directed by Clint Eastwood. It's got a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's called The Unforgiven. Incredible movie. Very ultra-violent, very like hyper-realistic. The mud in the movie is a character on its own. Fantastic film. Also revenge oriented. You guys like that one?
I love that movie. Yeah, I love Clint Eastwood throughout the movie. They cut her teats.
I'm really glad you mentioned it, because when I mentioned earlier like that I love the old school Clint Eastwood movies, I think that when he did Unforgiven, it was his way of kind of proving like he just owns westerns in general. It doesn't have to be the spaghetti western. He is the man with no name. He's
the outlaw Jesse
Wales. He is everything western embodies.
The other movie that I'm going to pair it with is another another great one from the following year, 1993, and this was a favorite in my household. If you ask my dad what movie he wants to watch, like even today, he would say Tombstone from 1993, directed by George P. Cosmatos. It's got a 73% on Rotten Tomatoes. He didn't do a whole lot. He only did about four or five movies, but two of them starred Sylvester Stallone. Rambo First Blood Part 2, which is one of the most awkwardly titled movies, and then also, of course, Cobra. But Tombstone from 1993 is about Wyatt Earp and the Earp brothers in Tombstone, Arizona, and the shootout with the cowboys. Aren't they called the cowboys? The bad guys in Tombstone, with them at the OK Corral. Really, really solid movie. It's kind of interesting because it came out right around the same time as a not so good Wyatt Earp movie starring Kevin Costner called Wyatt Earp. technically, they are released 1 year apart, but I remember them being like out like right at the same time. Maybe they were both on video.
It was one of those race to release situations.
Exactly. So yeah, those are my picks. A couple of 90s modern revisionist westerns, but moving it right along to the first portion of our feature segment, the recast, we're going with a much earlier film. It is, I dare say, a classic and a archetypal western. You've got all of your tropes showing up in this. The movie was directed by John Ford in 1939, and it's called Stagecoach. It's got a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. And John Ford is really the master of this genre for the time period. He did a lot of other westerns. He did The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance in 1962. He did The Searchers, also with John Wayne, in 1956. Rio Grande in 1950. And She Wore a Yellow Ribbon in 1949. I mentioned the ensemble cast. This movie is John Wayne's breakout role, but it was by no means his first movie. From between 1930 and 1939, when this came out, he made 53 movies before this.
Woo!
53 movies throughout the 30s, and this was the 54th, and it was his breakout role.
He's got that now, Nicolas Cage drive.
Well, guess how many he did total, like in his whole career.
67.
No, 140. Oh. John Wayne was prolific,
a powerhouse.
As fuck. They're not all great.
Yeah.
And there was a reason that he didn't really break out until his 54th movie. But he puts on a solid performance in this movie. But he didn't get top billing.
No.
The top billing goes to our sex worker with a heart of gold. Her name is Dallas. And she was portrayed by Claire Trevor. I'm saying that right?
Yeah.
And Claire Trevor was 29 at the time.
It's spelled exactly how you think it would be spelled.
Sometimes I spell things wrong, guys. And then that makes me mispronounce them. Or I think that it's spelled the way that I wrote it down. Anyway, like
Clay
Iyer,
Trevor.
I think that, is it Dirty Mike? Prison Mike?
Prison Mike
would spell it with a Z, right?
Yeah.
So then we also have the aforementioned John Wayne as the Ringo Kid. He was 32 at the time, which is, you know, fairly advanced in age for an actor just making their big splash, right?
Well, they can't all be Genghis Khan.
Right. and then probably my favorite character in the movie is the character of Doc Boone, the drunken doctor who... has to pull his shit together at one point and deliver a baby while they're out on the stagecoach route. I've got a great person for this. I mean, he was born to play the role, but we'll get to that in a minute. Then the fourth role that we're going to recast. We can't recast everybody that was in this movie because it had a large group. Like I said, all of your archetypal characters are there, but we do have the Southern Dandy. The gentleman gambler, or gentleman it would seem, although the doctor says that he's pulled a bullet out of a man's back in just the past week, and that bullet is attributed to our Southern Dandy Hatfield, who was played by John Carradine, the patriarch of the Carradine acting family, the Carradine acting dynasty. He had three kids, I think, who were all actors: Keith, David, and John. Maybe John Jr. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. We'll figure it out.
I think John Jr. might be.
The children are called Beta Carradines. Thank you. And so who wants to go first with Dallas? Our Claire Trevor.
I don't mind unless...
Go for it.
Sean's feeling up to it.
I can go. I'll go ahead and jump in. Because this is by far not my best pick. But I went with somebody who is relatively age appropriate. And she can be attractive, mm-hmm. or she cannot be attractive.
Okay.
Which I think this character, well, you'll understand in a second. But, you know, in the movie, the character was kind of alluring at times, and then very practical and very down to earth and get business done, you know. So I think that I wanted someone that kind of had that characteristic.
Uh-huh.
So I picked Mae Whitman.
Oh, I love her. And I don't think she's unattractive.
In Arrested Development, she was unattractive.
She was... She played Egg. She played Anne.
Oh, okay.
The unattractive girlfriend.
As the nose on Anne's face.
How's Egg? Anne, sorry.
What else would I know her from?
Scott Pilgrim versus...
She has been acting since she was a child. I believe she was in One Fine Day with...
She has 146 acting credits.
Damn, she's got more than John Wayne.
Her?
Yes,
I see what you did there.
The voice of the phone in her.
No, they always say like her.
That
like,
was in Arrested Development.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
All these jokes are going over my head.
Gotta watch the rest.
Yeah, we gotta get you caught up. Anyway, so that was my pick. I won't say any more about that.
Okay.
I like that pick. I think she is a bit of a chameleon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she's on the track. But
no, I was just referring.
Yeah, to I get what you mean. That's. That was why it was kind of so funny on that show. They just had her be plain. She wasn't unattractive.
Gotcha. And this is in like earlier seasons, not the.
She
not
was
the
in
Netflix
like the
reboot.
Second and third.
And for sure.
I want to say even the reboot.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay. Well, I'm gonna have to look into that. My pick is attractive. There's no question about it.
Wait, if I may. You mentioned Anne does appear in the fourth season of Arrested Development, and her father is played by someone you mentioned earlier.
Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh,
there's a little crossover there.
He is the priest. He's a priest. Alan Tudyk plays priest father.
The Church of the Holy Eternal Rapture.
That's awesome. All right, back to my pick. My pick for Dallas, our HHG, Hooker with a Heart of Gold, is she's 30 now, as opposed to the 29 years old that Claire Trevor was. Like I said, she's very good looking. She's rather easy on the eyes, and she's done some westerns. She was in the most recent Magnificent Seven. She's the young girl who's trying to get out of that town, but she can't because she would be leaving people behind and whatnot. She's also in Girl on a Train. And she was in Marley and Me, speaking of downer dog movies.
Yeah, right. I don't watch movies where I know the dog's going to die.
Hayley Bennett is going to be my pick. I even got a black and white picture.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
I considered her.
Yeah. Really? You did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
I actually kind of knew from the get-go, this was the first role that I picked. I picked and I don't know if it's Alicia or Alicia. I never know how to pronounce it. Vikander?
Yes.
From
she's beautiful.
Ex Machina and the Danish Girl.
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina,
yeah,
sorry.
It's okay.
I also can't read words.
Hector the Corrector.
She's about 29,
uh-huh.
roughly. I would have to check on her birthday. I don't know.
She's also in the new Lara Croft.
Yes,
she's
mm-hmm.
the new Lara Croft. I had some other notes. She won
an
Academy Award
for
Best Supporting Actor
for Best
Supporting Actor for Actress for The Danish Girl.
Yes.
But I just thought that she has done a lot of, like, on her profile, she's done a lot of those British
uh-huh.
you know, Victorian era. And okay, I think that, I gotta say it, and I'll say it now because it's gonna come out anyways. I think that British people do Southern accents better than a lot of American actors and actresses. So, even though she's Swedish, we're gonna go with
but
her.
She's played a lot of those like Merchant and Ivory type.
Yeah, she looks like she could play pretty but rough around the edges if she needed to.
Very cool. All right, so we've all gone with our Dallas. She won the. I'm pretty sure she won an Academy Award for this role. I might be confused, but yeah, Claire Trevor was great as Dallas in Stagecoach. Next up, we've got the Ringo Kid, portrayed by, even though he was 32, he was very young looking, but you also have to keep it in perspective. John Wayne got kind of old and fat there towards the end. And so this is a much slimmer, younger John Wayne. He's an escaped fugitive who his path intersects with that of the Stagecoach. And the marshal, who's also on the stage, takes him into quote-unquote arrest. But even though he knows he's going to have to depend on Ringo's sharp shooting if they cross paths with any Comanches. They're in Comanche territory.
I thought they were in Apache territory.
Is it Apache territory?
Apache.
Sorry. Oops. That's
so
that's
insensitive.
Bam.
I know. So... The pick that I have has a Western connection, not a John Wayne connection. John Wayne's son is too old.
Whoa, we know who it is. It's Scott Eastwood.
Scott Eastwood. Clint Eastwood's son, who is just starting to kind of get some recognition. He's not as good of an actor as his dad, but he definitely has the Eastwood name and that... The good looks.
And he's and like you said, he's done some Westerns.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Diablo.
Yes. And so yeah, that's my guy. Oh, and there's the picture of the very young John Wayne there as well. Scott Eastwood with the Western connection.
You wanna go? You
wanna sure, go? I can go. Okay. I chose someone who's also 32. And he's kind of he still has a very boyish look about him. And you know, John Wayne still looked young in this film, even though he was 32, appropriate for the Ringo Kid, which is the least intimidating name in the West. So my guy made his big premiere in the TV show Freaks and Geeks. He also was a regular on Bones, and he was in the film Waiting. It's John Francis Daly.
Nice. I like him a lot. He was my pick for a Tom Hanks recast, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah
he's good. Mm-hmm. He's very funny. Yeah, I like his character on Freaks and Geeks a lot.
See, I always thought he was like the worst of that little trio. Like in terms of acting chops, Sam is hilarious.
Yeah.
Bill is hilarious. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like Martin Starr, like they kill it, and he's just
his
sister Lindsay.
The actress who plays Lindsay.
Something. Is she a Carradine?
No.
Carradine something.
She's. I've seen her in some stuff.
Linda
Cardellini.
Yeah.
I like her a lot. So much so that I can remember her name off the top of my head.
I'm not a fan. And then I heard that they based that whole movie, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, was based off of her and Jason Segel from Freaks and Geeks relationship, because they dated after that show, and then she dumped him when she started to get famous from her Scooby-Doo fame. That big Scooby-Doo money started
that
running
really
in.
Had mileage on
so
that.
Apparently she dumped him, and then he wrote that movie shortly after, and then he, you know, regained popularity.
Interesting.
And then that movie came out, and that's who it's about. It's
very
her
cool.
character, roughly. So,
nice,
anyways.
Nice movie connection there.
I picked, and I y'all like just blew my mind now with the Ringo Kid. I didn't pick someone young.
He's not that young.
He does play boyish though. He's 35 years old, and his accent is everything. If you couldn't tell, I watched Sling Blade this week, I went with Lucas Black.
Oh yeah,
from
Lucas Black.
The Fast and the Furious, whatever's. Your mother probably knows him from NCIS, which he is apparently on now.
I was wondering what he was doing these days.
NCIS,
he's
what.
Not
and
Tokyo
he's not super, like, buffed up, but he still looks very boyish. And I think, you know, just give him a little couple of days without a shave. That accent, though,
yeah,
I love.
Yeah,
he's from Decatur, Alabama.
Yep.
You like the and way he talks.
I like the way you talk, too. Thank you.
That's a good
Friday Night Lights, too,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, so good in
you,
that.
Legion Jarhead, also.
Oh, he is in Jarhead.
And, yeah, that was a good movie.
Very good.
I really like him, so.
I
want to see him do something.
When I was
big again.
Researching actors with real Southern roots, he was one of the names that kept
I watched Sling Blade and I was like,
yep, he's my guy.
I was like, accent when I was going through thinking, I was come on,
right.
Stick him in.
Sounds good.
Who's up next?
Well, Doc Boone.
Character wise.
Next we've got Doc Boone, and this is the best recast on my list.
Okay.
But I went first last time.
Maybe my weakest. I'll go first.
I wonder if we all have the same guy, because
no.
My guy looks...
No.
Maybe my picks are superficial. Maybe I make my picks based a little bit too much on the dead ringer quality, but that's okay. I'm a visual person, and my pick is Dave Koechner.
Yay, Dave Koechner!
He was born to play this role.
He was. He's played this role before.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. He was my Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. He was.
He's good.
Watching this movie, I just kept seeing David
mm-hmm.
Koechner doing all the lines and acting drunk off his ass, and then pulling it together with like 9 pots of coffee, delivering a baby.
They were making him just chug the coffee, too.
It was great. So, nobody picked that?
No.
That
was so
amazing.
Worried.
Awesome. Mine
okay.
is like totally left field
okay.
for that.
All right, so who is yours?
I went with Michael Sheen.
Oh, yeah.
Who's a Brit. He's about the right age. Masters
he can be
of
very funny.
Sex. Yeah, what I wrote down was Wesley Snipes. He played the Wesley Snipes character on 30 Rock.
Oh.
I'm the only Wesley Snipes you'll ever love in
That's
the
awesome.
World. And of course, he's not. There's a very famous actor by the name of Wesley
Snipes. I love Passenger 57.
But yes, he's funny. He's serious. He played a ridiculous vampire in Underworld. He can.
Weren't they all ridiculous?
They were so stupid. but Midnight in Paris... Frost Nixon. I mean, there's a gamut there of.
He played Nixon, right?
I didn't see it. It just
no,
he played Frost.
Also, if they're not still together, he was in a relationship with Sarah Silverman. They were dating and it was.
I haven't talked to either one of them recently.
Right?
So
yeah,
I have no idea
on
the status.
Thing?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No.
All right. So
my pick
Sean,
is. My pick was probably influenced by a movie that I saw earlier in the week of his that you also saw and you also saw. He was in High Fidelity. He was in School of Rock. Nacho Libre. It's Jack Black.
Nice. Not John Cusack?
No, not John Cusack. but Jack Black, and I think that being a little pudgy and a little bumbly and a little funny.
Like Tenacious D Jack Black, not Bernie Jack Black.
Right. I think that he could do this role.
Like Orange County Jack
mm-hmm.
Black.
Yes, that is. Off the hinges.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Okay, very good. I can see it too. He's no Dave Koechner, but you could probably do
Yeah,
it
I think
pinch.
You won that round, all right? You won that round.
All right, the fourth role that we are going to recast in The Stagecoach by John Ford from 1939 is our Southern dandy, our gentleman, our gambler, our maybe shoot him in the backer. And he ostensibly has a thing for one of the other characters, the pregnant woman who's also on the stage. But we later find out that he fought under her father for the Confederacy during... The War of Northern Aggression.
The War
Northern
Aggression.
So we were kind of looking for a Southern actor or somebody who could pull off the Southern accent. And this is who I was thinking of Lucas Black for.
Which is funny because I wrote down Scott Eastwood.
Oh, shit. That's funny.
That's who I picked.
Yeah, he can do it.
Because I thought that I wanted... someone prettier, kind of, like you said, the Southern dandy. And
you could see him
little...
leering. You know,
yeah.
This character did a lot of leering.
I wanted to play the Eastwood card somewhere, mm-hmm. and I just thought that that was
yes
the place for him, rather the lead role for me, but that place.
This character carries around a retractable metal drinking glass just to impress
love
women.
It!
But he would not let Dallas drink out of it, only the lady.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the Hatfield character. Who is next? Sean, you want to go?
Did you reveal yours?
I didn't reveal mine, but I went with... I'll go ahead.
That doesn't matter.
I went with a character actor. He's been in a few things. He was an American Sniper. He's also in the unfortunate 50 Shades series. He's the younger brother of the gray character. And his name is Luke Grimes. He was also in Magnificent Seven.
I really like these
with
visual
my
aids.
Dallas, my mm-hmm. Haley Bennett. And he was in a movie I saw recently called El Camino Christmas, part of the 2017 movie marathon. I don't know. I don't think he's actually Southern. I think he's from the Midwest. So once again, just going on superficial looks, he's my Hatfield.
Mine is a bit of a stretch, but okay. I still like the pick. It's a bit of a stretch because of the age. I think the actor could pull off the Southern accent, even though he is not American. But he has the gaunt quality that character had.
Yeah, long face.
Very long face. And and this guy typically plays untrustworthy roles.
Okay.
Or questionable moral type roles. And he had a role in Rogue One, but everyone probably knows him better from Hannibal. It's Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh, I love him. He's so good. What's the one where he's like he's a berserker? He's like a Viking berserker.
Viking berserkers.
It's Attack of the Viking Berserkers.
I'm sorry, Attack of the Viking.
Mads Mikkelsen is. it's something like that. It's like it's not really that, but it's something.
Hmm.
It's a very good actor. Frightening as hell on Hannibal.
Yes.
But he was in a really funny dark comedy called Men and Chickens, or Chicken and Men. It was like a Danish dark comedy. Very funny movie. All right. So have we all gone?
That wraps us.
All right. So I guess if there's nothing else we need to say about this movie, we will go ahead and go into our intermission, and we'll be back with the second movie. It's a real tire fire. All right, Cinema Chop Shoppers, this is your host Travis, just chiming in here at the intermission to remind you to please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes. We appreciate the feedback, and any review is a good review. Also, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We are at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. We're on Facebook. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. And our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. If you want to send us an email, give us some suggestions for themes for future episodes. I have about a year's worth planned out, but you're more than welcome to offer advice, and I'm open to suggestions as well. And as always, thank you for listening, and remember to watch, chop, retrofit.
Tastes like chocolate.
All right. Thank you, Cinema Chop Shoppers, for bearing with us during the intermission. We needed a moment to regroup and shift gears here at the show. And I forgot to mention something at the top. The reason we're doing Westerns is because this coming weekend is the anniversary of what's considered to be one of the first Westerns. It was the first talking picture filmed outdoors, and it was called In Old Arizona. In Old Arizona came out in 1929, I believe, but a very influential film that kind of kicked things off for the genre. Also, here, coming back from intermission, we're going to do our beer check-in. I try to get beers that are at least kind of tangentially related to the theme. And the only one that I can get my hands on today is called Big Bison Ale. And it's got a picture of a buffalo on it.
It is a Missouri brewing legend.
Brewing a Missouri Legend.
Oh, okay.
They haven't gotten there yet.
I'm sorry. They're in the process. And as far as it goes, I will say that, check, yes, it is a beer.
Uh-huh. So it's, I bought it sheerly based on the label and the name, and then got it home and realized that it's their version of a Belgian double. Is it pronounced double or double?
Either way.
It's okay. Double.
Double. Michael Double. and that's not my favorite style.
No, it's terrible. It's really gross.
A little bit sweet, probably.
I'm not a fan.
Those are the buffalo patties.
Gotcha.
They filter through those. Well, yeah, the smell is definitely buffalo patty. Mm-hmm. The taste is like a chocolatey.
So it's
beer
it's,
mess.
Its real value is in the label, I think, for this specific.
Yeah, they definitely put the money into the gold plating.
We didn't mention, by the way, that we're recording tonight in the man cave adjacent.
Yes,
and I think that we're hearing some music from the neighbors.
It'll probably come up on these mics too.
Yeah.
So that's the first beer check-in, right? And then Sean, you brought one as well.
I did. This one is from Omnipollo or Omnipollo.
Is there two L's or one?
There are two L's.
Okay, then it's Pollo. That means every chicken. What? Omnipollo means every chicken.
So, and this one's called either NOA or Noah, but it was sold to me as a
as Noah
a pecan or pecan, depending on where you're from,
pecan
or who you're talking to.
Imperial Stout. However, the can now says Imperial Stout with natural and artificial flavors. And caramel color added. Now I will crack this open for Foley.
Very nice. Oh, yeah.
We'll actually, that didn't come through because of the pop filter.
I'll pass that around.
That's what these are.
Yeah, this is a big boy stout. This is 11%, so.
Oh.
Oh, it smells delicious.
I don't know if I can handle a big boy.
It smells like a German chocolate cake.
Right,
in a good way.
Okay. Oh, it's so thick. Tasty. It's like pouring mud.
Yeah, this is the superior of the of the two beers that we're checking in today. Good call, Sean.
I think this beer was featured in your movie Unforgiven. Big part.
I would definitely buy that again.
Okay. And on the bright side, my lovely wife Michelle
drink.
Also as a matter of fact, does like that style, so they will not go to waste. All right.
She does like that. Take that home to her.
I'm talking about the Big Bison, Belgian double. She likes that style more than I do. Excuse me. All right. Hopefully that burp showed up, even though we have a pop filter.
I think the pop filter got
there. Next thing we're doing is the 2018 movie marathon, and I am up to 27 movies, I believe. And it's only the 19th day of the year.
How's that New Year's resolution going, though?
The running thing? So I did go out and run.
Shut up.
I did go out and run twice. But then I woke up with a what I call a crick in my neck a week ago on Friday.
That's appropriate medical term.
And yeah. And it's just now starting to subside. So I don't want to go out and aggravate it by physical exercising activities.
Yeah.
So I'm just waiting for that to calm down. But in the meantime, I've seen 27 movies.
That's amazing.
I also have some.
You have been busy.
Some competition.
That's right. You do.
Yeah, because Sean is also doing the marathon, and he's nipping at my heels. What number are you on, Sean?
I checked in number 20 today.
Ooh.
On the 19th day of the month.
Yeah. So you're one ahead. Awesome. All right, so I'm just going to talk about a few of them. The most recent one was number 27. It's called Dr. Marston and the Wonder Women. It was actually out at the same time as the Wonder Woman feature from
DC.
Funny
how Wonder Woman got more attention.
Well, I don't think that, least the local theater, I don't think they knew what the movie was about because it only played for like a couple days because it's about some pretty graphic stuff. The guy was
He was obsessed with bondage.
Yes, and he also was in an open marriage.
Yes, he was.
Like a love triangle that was very unconventional for the time. What does my actual review say? I'm up to 28, sorry. The man who would be Polka King. We'll talk about that in a minute. It says, strategically released concurrently with Wonder Woman, this biopic recounts the creator of the iconic character's struggle with an unconventional relationship. A love triangle the world was not ready for. All right. And then this is number 25 and number 28. I'm combining them because I watched The Polka King with Jack Black on Netflix. And then I found out that there's also a documentary called The Man Who Would Be Polka King that came out in 2009. So I watched them both. And it's about
Jan Levon,
or
Jan Lewin.
He's a Polish-American polka band leader who went to prison with a Z for running a Ponzi scheme with a Z. And it stars Jack Black, Jenny Slate, and Jason Schwartzman in the dramatic retelling of it, not the documentary. The documentary has the real people in it.
Is that the way it works?
25 and 28. Number 23 was Molly's Game with Jessica Chastain about the former Olympian who has to make a change in careers, and what she decides to do is run a high-stakes poker game. She does so for years.
How was that one?
It's pretty good, yeah.
Okay, because I love Jessica Chastain. Yeah. But I'm like tired of her trying to prove herself in a movie, and I just want something that's fun to watch with her.
I think this character's pretty good. It's pretty multi-dimensional. Okay. So yeah, I would recommend it.
Worth viewing.
Uh huh. Number 22 is a movie lovers movie. It's a documentary called 7852, and it's about the making of the movie Psycho, Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, specifically the shower scene. Which used 78 different camera setups and 52 takes for a scene that's only a couple minutes long.
Yeah.
I said, a documentary about Psycho in general, but the shower scene specifically and how it changed film. The title references those camera techniques. Number 21, another documentary that I've been wanting to see for quite a while, is called Bombshell, and it's the Hedy Lamarr story. It is an outstanding documentary about the film actress and her oppressed brilliance as an inventor. She was known as a pinup or bombshell, but also was kind of brilliant and invented what's known as signal hopping. At the time, it was used during submarine warfare, but now we use it in our cell phones and Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we use it to bounce around.
It's a really good movie. She never really got credit for her work on that. Well, she got credit eventually, but never was paid for it.
Imagine that.
Number 20 is a movie that I kind of had high hopes about, but turned out to be not so great. It's called Proud Mary with Taraji P. Henson, and she's kind of a Jackie Brown-esque character.
From 8 Mile?
She's also
Empire.
On Empire, right. But the character's kind of a Jackie Brown-style character. She's a hit woman. She works for, like, the Russian mob, and she takes...
that makes
she
sense.
Takes
already.
A kid under her wing. And so the premise...
There's kids involved.
The premise is good, but the execution was not so great. But it's kind of an homage to the blaxploitation movies of the 70s.
Well, if you're going to do that, you gotta do it right. What was the Kung Fu movie that came out?
Kung Fu Hustle.
No, there was a different one.
Legend of the Iron Fist, the man with the Iron
Fist. No, I'll come back to
Kung Pao.
Kung Pao, Legend
Dynamite.
Of the Fist.
Dynamite. Black Dynamite.
Oh, Black Dynamite, yeah, yeah.
That was how...
It's also
that was
a really good album.
That was a... Yeah, I actually have that on that album. I was going to say, that is how you do blaxploitation films. Like, that is a good example.
And then, speaking of film, the last one that I'm going to mention today was number 19, and it was The Disaster Artist. Based on a book written by the guy who plays Mark in The Room.
Greg Sestero,
thank you.
Oh, hi, Mark.
And the movie's getting lots of award buzz. He won, James Franco
Golden
won
Globes.
Best Director at the Golden Globes, right? Or was it Best Actor?
I thought it was Actor.
But it was really
because
funny because
Tommy came
up
there.
Like tried to pull a Kanye and grab the microphone from James Franco while he was giving his
did
speech.
Did you hear his why he did that?
Because he's Tommy Wiseau.
Well, James Franco took his power back there and took control.
He's like, no, hold on.
Because
he
wanted to make sure that he thanked his brother who actually played the Greg Sestero character.
James Franco.
Dave Franco. Yes.
Right. Okay. So, really good movie. The side-by-side shots at the end, showing the reenacted shots and the original footage from the movie are uncanny.
My
official review was a doctoral thesis in postmodern meta-irony.
Yeah.
So that will end the 2018 movie marathon for me.
Comments.
Did you want to mention any of yours?
No.
I was just going to say, when you mentioned The Polka King, Jenny Slate is in that movie.
She's
and
great.
She is so underutilized, I feel like, in Hollywood. She was
okay.
great on SNL. She's on Big Mouth. We love
She's
her on that.
Great in Big
we
Mouth.
Love her on Nate Kroll's show.
Mm-hmm.
She was great on that as well.
She's pretty much good in
her and John
right.
Mulaney have paired up in some stuff. I feel like as well. But, so it's nice to see her play a leading lady.
And John Mulaney's also in Big Mouth.
Yes.
Yes.
He's the taller of the two friends.
Yes.
Right?
He's on Nick Kroll's show as well.
The one who's constantly masturbating.
Yeah.
All right.
He just developed a little quicker.
Speaking of developing, the next movie we're going to talk about probably should never have been developed.
Very well developed.
The film should have remained inside the camera.
It's a real stinker. We mentioned there's no score on Rotten Tomatoes for some reason.
The director's name was Fracker. So
William A. Fracker, and of course
he fracked it up big time.
The Legend of the Lone Ranger from 1981. It has no score on Rotten Tomatoes, but it did get nominated for 5 Golden Raspberries. Winning 3 of them.
Rightfully so.
Yes. And it is, we've got three people to recast. We don't need to really tell anybody the story of the Lone Ranger.
No.
It's a story that's been told many times, but this particular version, the lead, was played by an actor named Clinton Spilsbury.
The only
movie
cred
ever made.
No
it was
relation
so bad,
to Pillsbury.
He never made another movie again.
Yeah.
No relation to who?
Pillsbury.
Pillsbury,
that boy. Like it's not, he didn't pull a Nicolas Cage.
All of his lines were overdubbed.
All of his lines were overdubbed by James Keach. Who is the younger brother of Stacy
Keach.
Plays
American
John Reed,
history.
A.K.A. the Lone Ranger, even though, what was it you were saying, Sean? Even though we don't see
him as the Lone Ranger until like 20 minutes left in the film.
Yeah, it's like 3/4 of the way through the movie and he finally puts on the mask.
And then you don't even hear the William Tell Overture for another 5 or 10 minutes after that.
Mm-hmm. But we do hear a lot of very sloppy narration from Merle Haggard.
Oh man, if you're a Merle Haggard fan, this is your jam.
Yeah. In the Wikipedia, it says he unrhythmically narrates. then we've got Tonto, who was played by Michael Horse, who people would recognize from Twin Peaks.
Hawk!
Yeah, he was Hawk in Twin Peaks. And then finally we've got Butch Cavendish, who is our villain, our Christopher Lloyd, an early Christopher Lloyd
sidekick. Yeah, that's
right.
Back to the Future, Christopher Lloyd.
Uncle
Fester.
I guess at the time he was coming off of Taxi.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
He'd already done...
Who Framed Roger Rabbit came out late 80s or early
90s? Mid to late.
But he had already done One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah, okay.
The
Future was definitely 84.
Let's go ahead and bite the bullet, so to speak, with this Clinton Spilsbury role. Oh, another thing real quick. This movie is also infamous because the studio filed an injunction against the original Lone Ranger actor, who I'm blanking on his name, But they...
Clinton Spilsbury.
No, the original from the TV show, Larry Major, they forbid him from wearing the mask in public appearances.
Oh,
so, like,
I saw that. I was reading about that.
It's really confused.
And
I'm going to go first.
Go for it.
Because you've already used my actor, both of you. I'm going with Scott Eastwood.
Oh, wow!
So that is a trifecta for the show. Is that a first?
That's never happened before.
Oh, cheers to that, then.
Yeah, cheers on that. But caveat... he will be overdubbed by another actor.
Who?
Will Arnett.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes.
Yes, that would be...
Tonto, come here.
BoJack Horseman.
Or Job, if you
from,
will.
From Arrested Development.
Hey, Michael, have you seen the new Poof?
I can see it. That would be pretty good.
I've made a huge mistake.
It's not a trick, it's an illusion.
You didn't pick the same guy as me because I thought that it was kind of a give me.
Really?
A no-brainer on this one. I picked somebody who's also kind of a disgraced actor. Somebody who hasn't done much recently after phoning in a very terrible performance in what could have been some good movies. I went with Hayden Christensen, who played grown-up Anakin in the Star Wars prequels.
You're right, yeah. Come on, Hayden. Where the fudge you been?
Leave Hayden alone.
He's terrible.
Fault, the writing was so bad. Like, there's
no, I've seen him. I've seen him in other
that's
things,
why I'm
and they're
saying,
bad.
No, he needs to come back to us. He was not when he first popped up, they had big hopes for him. Like, he was a...
Did you see Jumper?
Yeah, well, I was talking about even before that.
I rest my case.
Your turn.
My pick was, he's a British, because like I said, mentioned earlier.
He's a British person. You people.
British Paul's person.
Uh-huh.
His name is, I can't read, so Dominic Cooper.
Dominic Cooper. Tell me where I know him from.
You would know him from Captain America. There's a ton of people in that, so that's not very specific.
Oh, Dominic Cooper. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My Week with Marilyn, but mostly Preacher.
Yeah, Preacher. Yep.
Okay,
Preacher.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched him on Grand Tour last week, actually, and seeing him natural, totally. I mean, they don't interview them on Grand Tour. They're just driving a car around. So getting to see him have fun and his, like, real personal, whatever. He versus that character he plays on Preacher, which is a Southern accent.
Yeah.
And very dark and very gritty and, an alcoholic and abusing substances, if you will.
So you're making an improvement to this movie with your recasting.
I was trying to pick
somebody equally as bad.
I'm always trying to improve it, especially if we're picking a fucking bomb of a movie. I'd
love to hear some original audio before they overdubbed it. How bad could his voice have actually
been? Hey, Tonto!
I think we need to be remaking the terrible movies.
Uh-huh.
I mean, why remake the good shit? Why don't we take the crap and then twist it around? If you can make something beautiful out of something that was ugly to begin with, that's even more of an art form. So, my cast is... at least two of them are, I think, pretty strong and would play well together.
You've got confidence.
Yeah.
All right, so...
I didn't pick directors for these Westerns because that's a hard call, but...
Well, how could you do any better than William Fracker? So the next role is the role of Tonto, which I feel like we should give him a real name, because Tonto is, a bullshit name. But I didn't come up with one because I don't speak.
My dog Pickle disagrees with that statement.
So originally portrayed by Michael Horse, who was 32, I went with an actual Native American actor, another one, even though Michael Horse is Native American, as opposed to Johnny Depp playing Tonto.
Yaquoi? Is that how you say that?
LaCroix, the
seltzer water? not L.A. Croix.
my pick, he's Ogallala Sioux, and his name is Tatanka Means. Buffalo.
Tatanka means
buffalo. Yeah, I was about to say, it means what?
Tatanka does mean buffalo, but his name is Tatanka Means, and he is an actor slash comedian, also a boxer, an entrepreneur, and an activist for Native American rights.
He has us trained to look for a picture, me at least. Ah.
There he is. Yes. And he's done some westerns.
Yes.
He's. You don't think so?
No, I'm fine with yours.
Okay.
I got you beat.
Okay, go for it.
No. Do you want to go?
Well, I went.
This is
with
my favorite pick, so
okay.
I'd like to go.
All right.
I went with Adam Beach, who is pretty well known for he's played Native Americans, even though he's a First Nations person of Canada. He's from Manitoba.
Okay.
You would have seen him in Wind Talkers.
Yes.
Of course, playing the that was Cherokee.
I like him.
Right? Were they doing Cherokee? What
Wind
was
Talkers
the language they were?
Navajo.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that they were doing in that. He's been in Law and Order SVU.
Yes.
Apparently, he was in Suicide Squad. So was someone else. I've been heard was Scott Eastwood was also in Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm. So
he was also Adam Beach was also in Diablo with Scott Eastwood.
So he's a little bit older.
Joe and Dirt. Joe Dirt.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's Kicking Wing in.
Kicking Wing and Joe Dirt. He was born in 1972, and I have 4 and a question mark because I was rushing and didn't have time to do math.
Okay. Yeah, so your Tonto is going to be a little bit older than your LTR.
Yeah.
TLR.
Yeah, he's a little older, but I think that he.
He's a solid actor.
Mm-hmm. He's been in a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the cred. I mean,
I like him.
Yeah.
All right. But
and the look. I'm sorry.
I'm hearing that we're going to like Sean's pick a lot.
You might not like my pick. I like my pick.
Okay.
Just because the more I read about this guy, the more I'm like cheering for him as an actor. And I want him to do well.
Is it the guy from Get Out?
No. You would know him from the most recent Magnificent Seven. He played Red Harvest. And
Yeah.
Okay. And he was in Wind River as Chip, and he had a credit as a Native warrior in the original, which was like, I think, the first episode of Westworld.
Okay. Yeah.
The most recent HBO series. His name is Martin Sinsmeyer. He is, I'm going to butcher this, and I apologize. He was raised in the Tlingit coastal community in southeast Alaska.
Oh, wow.
He is a Koyukon Athabascan and Irish descent.
Okay.
What's so cool about him is like he splits his time between working on a fishing boat and going to Hollywood to act.
Wow.
And at the same time, he's an ambassador for the Native Wellness Institute, as well as he does a Boys and Girls Club of America chapter for Native American kids.
That's
awesome.
Amazing. And he's cool.
He's a
solid
guy.
And as a
Tonto. He looks like the male Pocahontas version. Oh my goodness.
Oh wow.
Yeah. That's what I was expecting her to say. He's really easy on the eyes. I have this picture. He looks like Native American version of Fabio back in the days.
Yeah.
For the listeners at home, Hillary just climaxed on Utah. That's a good pick. I can see why you were so confident.
That's a good picture, is what I say.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah, let's compare this.
You won that one. Good
I don't
Tonto.
Know. I still think my Tonto has acting skills.
All right, so we're only doing the 3 roles in this, which means
you
want to
keep this picture.
Can I take that home?
Take that with me.
The final role, the antagonist of the film, your Butch Cavendish, is portrayed by Christopher Lloyd. He's 43 at the time, and since I kind of biffed it on that last one, I want to go first with this one. Once again, Dead Ringer style. I'm going with Johnny Lee Miller.
Yeah. Love him.
Johnny Lee Miller, of course, is Sherlock Holmes on the TV show Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's also, like you said, he was in Trainspotting.
He was a good boy in Trainspotting.
He was also
Hackers.
One of Angelina Jolie's husbands.
He was married. They met.
Yeah.
They were in Hackers together.
Yes,
and
Hackers.
They were married, yeah.
And can you see?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was trying to think. There's another. He had a very short-lived TV series that I particularly liked that ended well before its time.
Mm.
I think And I can't think of it.
I can't remember. He's been in a lot of stuff. I tend
I like him a lot.
Because I love Tackers and Trainspotting.
He's the second best Sherlock Holmes on TV right now.
Yeah.
So, that's my guy. Who's going next?
Mm-hmm. I'll go. That's okay.
Go for it.
So many names crossed out and written down with question marks, but ultimately I went with Aaron Eckhart.
Okay.
I like Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah.
I do too. I had Sam Rockwell, Ty Burrell. I had a lot of names written down trying to go with this. Ultimately, I went with Aaron Eckhart. He's a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
But also because Dominique Cooper is so dark haired, the guy I picked for the lead role, I wanted someone light haired.
Okay. For the contrast.
Yes. But also, I mean, this character, I feel like, is the villain. But is one of those villains that someone... I mean, he lets him live. So there's like...
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something there.
And, there's a little bit of
altruism. And Aaron Eckhart can play rough. I mean, I first saw him in Any Given Sunday way back in the day. That's the first thing I remember him from.
Mm-hmm.
I say way back in the day. That was 1999. But then in 2000, he did Aaron Brockovich. And he was the character with the beard...
Oh.
And the hair, and you don't even recognize him as that from that clean cut to
gotcha.
That. Just for him, a beard does a lot. We know him from The Dark Knight. We know him from
Two-Face.
Yes, Thank You for Smoking.
Thank you
he
for
was
smoking,
also in
yeah.
the remake of The Wicker Man.
Oh.
A small part in that, but I think that he contrasts with my other pick because it's California boy
yeah.
with the dark hair, light hair. Tonto, I didn't want to go.
I like it.
All one haircut.
Sean?
All right, so my guy has a very short list of credits. It's mostly television. I think it's a total of 19. He was in the TV series Legends. He played Curtis Ballard. He had a stint on Shameless as Gus Fender. And on Nashville, he played Riff Bell. He's from Ashland, Kentucky. And if this guy doesn't look like your villain, I don't know who does.
He looks so mean.
Oh, I haven't seen the pictures all the way across the room. Oh. Oh, no, he just looks like he's popping his collar.
Yeah, but that facial hair looks badass. Steve Casey, I guess, is his name.
You know who else would be good? Do you guys watch that show, The Badlands?
Yes.
You know, Quinn?
Uh-huh.
He's super scary.
Gotcha.
I think he should be in something. I thought about him for the Samurai movies.
So, have we devoted enough time to this terrible, terrible?
Yeah, we didn't talk about it much. I mean, I think.
Well, we're going to take another intermission, and we'll come back with part three, where we discuss everything about the legend
say,
of the
I
Lone
think
Ranger.
That this
not
movie has a lot of room for growth.
Uh
huh. I did not see the Johnny Depp. Whatever.
Me either.
Okay, I haven't seen anything with Johnny Depp in it in a few years.
Yeah.
Personally.
All right. So. The final thing that we're going to do today, the final segment, is going to be our Chop Shopper Challenge. We put it out there on Facebook and Twitter and asked the listeners to chime in and to hypothetically, because it should never be done, but hypothetically recast the two main roles from City Slickers. City Slickers 1, not The Legend of Curly's Gold, came out in... 1992. I didn't write it down. Directed by Ron Underwood. It's got a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. Billy Crystal as Mitch Robbins and Daniel Stern as Phil Berquist. And they, as the title suggests, are city slickers who are out on a dude ranch. And they are real fishes out of water, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so we did have some responses. I think if we have our own, we should wait till the end, right?
Yes.
Oh, I don't have one.
Dana, frequent listener Dana, suggests Stephen Merchant and John Krasinski. She said it was an
Ooh,
inadvertent
I like that.
Office pairing because
yeah.
Stephen Merchant is on the original British Office and John Krasinski is on the American.
Stephen Merchant, who does he play on the original? Not the Jim character, but who does he play? The little side character?
I can't remember.
Or was he a writer? Okay.
But I think that
important.
That could work, and it was interesting
right.
that she kind of stumbled across the connection organically. Somebody named Melissa, who I think this is the first time we're hearing from her, did a kind of Ghostbusters-esque reboot and cast Ellen Page and Kristen Wiig, which I think would be a very funny way to take it. We've seen that formula work before. And then recent guest Joey Poole chimed in. He said he just wanted to throw Key and Peele out there before anybody else did, because it's become kind of a running gag here on the show.
But also they would work.
They would. And like we said before, that's what 2018 needs is more
Key and Peele.
If Oprah runs for president, she needs to put them in her cabinet.
Key and Peele. For everybody.
Co-secretaries of Making Me Laugh. And so then we've got our own that we're going to offer as suggestions. Hillary, what is yours?
What?
She doesn't have
one. You don't have a pick? Never mind.
Circle back around. Andrew had
a pick though, and I didn't know these people's names when you first suggested it, but I looked it up, and they're fellow podcasters. They're pretty much our peers.
Yes, totally our peers.
Our names are Justin Travis and Griffin McElroy. Is that right?
The McElroy brothers are not experts.
They're what?
They're not experts. They're not really actors either. They have a TV show that was on CISO.
But the TV show is based on their podcast.
Yeah,
right?
And
what's
I
the podcast
think
called?
My Brother, My Brother and Me.
My Brother and Me. And they're real
those
brothers.
Three
yeah.
brothers?
And they're from West Virginia, but they're
oh.
all like... They're all spread out now. They're all...
I remember that
X-Files podcast.
Yeah,
the movie, it's a fish out of water story.
Yes.
You need like guys who are supposed to be friends, or they're close, or they have good chemistry
uh-huh.
together. And I thought like the McElroy brothers.
Yeah. Now, are they
going to
play brothers
they,
in the movie?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure. We're going to change it up a bit.
Gotcha.
Okay, I've got my, like...
Very good.
My Facebook
throw it in
answer is Woody and Matthew.
Woody Harrelson
and
Matthew
McConaughey.
David.
All right. And Matt Damon.
They call him Matthew Damon.
Matt Damon, right?
So,
totally.
McConaughey and who?
Woody Harrelson. True
and
Detective.
Would yeah,
want
yeah.
a remix. Except
I'm,
that they both sound Southern as shit. That would not work. They do not sound like
so
they're from the city.
So what if you did it backwards and they're
and
cowboys who go to the city? Oh, wait, that's called the Cowboy Way.
Yes.
Woody Harrelson and Kiefer Sutherland.
Yes.
Oh, good God.
So I'm going to go ahead and give mine. And it
I'll
might
rethink
be,
that one.
It might be controversial, but I picked a comedic duo who's got great on-screen chemistry on the show Master of None. I'm talking Aziz Ansari and Eric Wareheim.
Nice.
Aziz was in the news this past week, I think erroneously. I think a lot of people are saying that it sounds like what happened between him and this anonymous accuser was completely consensual, and he ignored nonverbal cues, which is a fuck-up. He shouldn't...
I'm sorry.
What?
Yeah.
He ignored
nonverbal
cues, right?
Asking someone not to dry hump... You should not be like a nonverbal cue.
So she should have said something. Right. Anyway, we don't need to get
so
to...
She should have said something
right.
instead of just not hump back like a no, fucking piece of furniture.
No,
I'm saying
that she is saying that he was out of line.
She, yeah.
Because
yeah.
he ignored nonverbal communication.
Yeah. And verbal. She's also said verbal and nonverbal
okay.
at times. Did she not? Anyways, well, we're not going to get stuck on this.
So Eric Wareheim is also on Master of None. He's the, you know, the tall friend. Of course, he's from Tim and Eric. Really funny guy. And I think that the two of them, as are Mitch and Phil, would be pretty good. Yeah, sorry, we didn't mean to go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, and I don't hate Aziz, and I think that his apology and
mm-hmm.
response was, even in the text messages
mm-hmm.
that they sent to each other, were completely appropriate,
right.
And he handled that pretty
mm-hmm.
well, but yeah, shouldn't Shouldn't take a next day text to be like, hey, dude, you're acting like a dick.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know. Yeah. Is all I'm saying.
And the descriptions of how he was acting were pretty dickish.
They were.
There's something about a claw and him, like, putting his fingers down her throat or something.
It
like
was,
that.
Yeah. It was too hands-on.
Yeah.
For him to not know that that's okay.
True.
But that's Squash. That's between Aziz and his...
Anonymous accuser. So, Sean, do you want to throw anything out there?
Sure.
For
sure.
Go for it.
You know, now that you've drug us down into this political discussion,
bring us back.
I'll
up.
Bring you back up to something happy. The storyline, even though the ages were a little disparate on the movie, but they're on the edge of being 40. You know, 39 years old,
yeah.
Turning into 40, and just having a little bit of a midlife crisis kind of thing. So I went with two guys who are 39 each, and I don't know if they've ever worked together, but they're both Jewish Americans, and it's Nick Kroll and Andy Samberg.
Oh, yeah, they would
frack
be
frack you, because about to pull out the Nick Kroll and John Mulaney.
That is unfracking believable.
That's my last ditch effort. I got nothing. Then.
So how about this opinion? Is City Slickers the original or Legend of Curly's Gold the superior City Slickers movie?
Oh, the first
movie.
One.
Yeah?
I was more into...
Legend of Curly's Gold?
The big...
Jack
the good,
Palance.
The bad, the ugly. I mean, I wasn't really actually... Did not grow up on City Slickers.
Gotcha.
And my country cousins, an hour away, called me a city slicker from the great town of Florence.
Yeah, yeah.
So I also had no interest in seeing
that. You took umbrage at the name.
I was quite offended. I mean, I'm like, have you been to Florence? It's not that big of a city.
You might as well be wearing a New York Mets cap. All right.
Yes.
So that is the Chop Shopper Challenge that kind of got derailed a little bit there for the movie City Slickers. And at this point, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up, right?
Sure.
I want to thank both
wrap
of the guests today. Hillary, thank you for being here. Do you have anything you want to give a shout out to? Any plugs or anything like that?
I would just like to encourage people to go out and buy some buffalo meat. Buffalo
yes.
burgers, buffalo girls,
the Tatanka dog,
buffalo hides, anything buffalo related. It's
very
2018 as well, from what I'm hearing from the fashion
right.
designers.
I was not calling you a buffalo. and also thank you, Sean, for being back on the show and also for hosting us here in the Man Cave Adjacent.
My pleasure.
And you've got a plug. Right?
Seminar Brewing. We've still got the canning release coming up for anybody in the area. And I'm
this
apparently.
Next Saturday?
Next Saturday. And apparently we're really busy because people are texting me with pictures of the crowd at the brewery.
Nice.
So thank you all for coming.
So, I thought it was next Saturday.
It is next Saturday.
Oh,
we just have a big crowd
tonight.
They're busy tonight.
Oh.
That's good though.
That's awesome. Go get a mosaic. It's amazing.
You like the mosaic.
I am all about the IPAs. And
I say sipping on that Zake.
Sipping on that Zake. I can get down with that.
Also, I wanted to, while we're talking about seminar, we should also say there's going to be some festivities for the big game, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you for reminding me.
What big game?
Well,
nope, can't say that.
Well, we can say it. We just can't say it when we advertise it. But we're going to have a Super Bowl party at the brewery.
With
food.
So the
representing each of the cities that are playing in the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh. So the two final teams, say for example, if it was Philadelphia and New England.
Do we know yet who these
not
final
yet.
Teams?
Well, no, after Sunday.
There's still four teams in. You would have Phillies and lobster rolls.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
On the buffet. So that's going to be a good time. This is the first year that you guys have had this party at the brewery.
Yeah, we've always had it right here.
Previously, it's been right here. So that's awesome. We want to plug the podcast itself. Please go on iTunes or whatever platform you're listening to us on and rate and review the podcast. You can also review us on Facebook. We are Cinema Chop Shop on Facebook. We're on Twitter. It's Cinema Chop Shop. At Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. And then our email address, if you ever have any corrections or suggestions or anything like that, we'd love to hear from our listeners. It's cinemachopshop@gmail.com. And then all of these beers, good and bad, we're checking them in on Untappd. That's untappd.com, where we are also Cinema Chop Shop. I want to thank the engineer, Andrew, playing with all his new gear. We got new gear, right?
Yeah, I got some new headgear.
Happy trails, partner.
Love it.
Mosey on along.
Move it along, little donies. And then finally, thank you to you, the listeners. And please.
Thanks, guys.
Please, Cinema Chop Shoppers, remember to watch, chop, retrofit.